Greetings. You are listening to an Anomaly Classic episode with Jen and Angela.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard,
normal,
or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
I'll do that.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of Anomaly. I'm Jen, and I'm one of the co-hosts and co-founders of the Anomaly podcast. Today I'm flying solo because Angela and I couldn't get together to record. We tried last weekend, but we had some technical difficulties and we're like, to heck with it. Jen will do it by herself and we'll get together in a few weeks to record the three, well now there will be two, other shows that we had planned to do all in one night. A few weeks ago, we posted a poll on our Anomaly Facebook group to help us decide which classic Anomaly review should re-enter the podcast feed. Galaxy Quest won by a landslide, edging out our review of Buffy the Vampire Slayer's Hush, Firefly Shindig, and TNG's The Game, just to name a few. By the way, our Facebook group rocks, and we'd love to see you there too. Lots of really great threads going on. Two of my favorite occurred, I think, last week. Just silly things that you see all the time, but one of them was, which house would you belong to if you were at Hogwarts? And the other was, which Aja would you belong to in the Wheel of Time? And of course, in true Anomaly fashion, it started out as a very methodical list of why we would fit into certain houses, and I think we did some online tests to determine that, because we all kind of thought we leaned one way, and the test pretty much labeled us all Browns, but it degraded into a conversation about how good we were at dating, and what colors we look best in, and fashion trends. But that's an Anomaly thing. We also have a fan page, but all of our activity is in the exclusive, yet not exclusive, Facebook group. You can invite other people to join, and I hope you will. We are an aho-free society, so please don't invite people who are combative. Thanks to everyone who's joined there so far, and I hope to see you there too. Before I start playing the review, I'd like to thank Rick Moyer for his voiceovers that he provided for this episode. His Malthazar imitation cracks me up. Thanks, Rick. I really appreciate the time you spent to record these. If you need a voiceover artist, actor, or musician, look up Rick on Elance.com. That's Elance.com. I'd also like to thank Amber, Tony, and Beth for donating last month. I know I already thanked you on Facebook, but I just wanted to do it publicly. And if you can help us out, send your donation through PayPal to girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com. And finally, I want to thank Kenny for sending us comments on this episode and a few others he lumped into this recording for good measure. If you have a comment, please email an audio version in any format to girlygeeks@gmail.com or call our voicemail line at 432-363-4742. Or finally, you can use the recording widget on our website. We'd love to hear from you. Angela and I will be back soon with a brand new episode. But until then, here's our 2008 discussion on Galaxy Quest, plus a few 2013 enhancements. Enjoy, and thank you so much for listening and subscribing.
In the far reaches of the galaxy, a civilization is under siege.
We are all that is left.
They've searched the universe for a leader.
Stay tuned for scenes from next week's Galaxy Quest.
Never give up. Never surrender.
He will save us.
What they got.
Never give up. And never surrender.
We're struggling TV actors.
You are our last hope.
Where's my limo?
Okie dokie.
And they're about to put on a command performance. 8 million light years away.
We are actors, not astronauts.
You are our protectors.
That was a hell of a thing.
Now,
Laredo, take us out.
You gotta move to the right.
Would you sit your ass down? You wanna drive this to...
Acting like heroes.
The whole thing was just a misunderstanding.
May not be enough.
They look like little children. Hi, little guy.
I'm done.
DreamWorks Pictures presents Tim Allen, Sigourney Weaver, Alan Rickman, Galaxy Quest.
You're just gonna have to kill it.
Well, go for the mouth, the throat, his vulnerable spots.
It's a rock, it doesn't have any vulnerable spots.
Oh, and now for Jen and Angela's 2008 review of Galaxy Quest.
Are we ready to do this thing?
Let's go.
All right. I'm very excited. We're going to talk about Galaxy Quest. Galaxy Quest is a movie, and it was made in 1999, starring Tim Allen, Sigourney Weaver, Alan Rickman, Tony Shalhoub, Sam Rockwell, Robin Sachs, and Justin Long. It's a spoof slash real science fiction movie about Star Trek, kind of.
Yeah.
And Star Trek fans. And most of you have probably seen it. If you haven't, I would go watch it and then come back and listen to this part of the podcast because it's more fun that way. I guess there are spoilers.
Yes.
I feel silly for a 9-year-old movie to be saying that there are spoilers, but anyway, so I saw it the other day randomly and I just decided it would be a really good podcast topic because not only does it stand on its own as a fun science fiction movie, but the one thing I think geeks like is self-referential humor. I like to poke fun at us. So I think that's what we do. We understand all of those things, but it's still fun. It's fun to kind of suspend your disbelief. And that's what being a sci-fi fan is all about, I think.
Yes.
And that movie kind of covers that whole gamut of what it's like to be, I mean, what we would wish as fans, I guess, to happen.
You get a little verklempt whenever.
I did. I got at the end. I mean, we can skip around because I think, should we give a synopsis real quick? Or as long as it's not as ADD as our synopsis of Firefly.
Okay.
Basically, they're at the convention and they meet a bunch of kids that like them. The guy, the Kirk character, which is played by Tim Allen,
he's a showman.
He's just kind of a, you know, he's a drunk and a crazy person. He, you know, just takes all whatever he can get at the thing, takes his money and goes. And he gets contacted by this alien race that he thinks want to hire him, you know, to show up at a party or something to be the guy. And they're going to give him all this money. But instead they transport him, you know, halfway across the galaxy into what looks like his ship from the TV show. And these aliens have been watching our TV and think that they're history. And so they get the whole crew onto the ship, the actual real ship, and they fight some aliens and, you know, everybody wins. And I think the first thing I wanted to talk about was the different characters and how they coincide with other characters in
Star
the
Trek.
Shows that we that we watch. So first is the Tim Allen character, of course, is the Kirk character.
Yeah, I think he does a really good job of imitating Kirk, especially when they're showing supposed scenes from the episode,
right,
which supposedly took place in 1982. He kind of has that Kirk stance in the chair, you know, leaning in the chair.
He's got
his eyes kind of narrowed a little bit.
Uh-huh.
The light's shining on him in a certain way. You know, it's got that Kirk glow about him.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that Tim Allen is one of the is the only actor in the main cast that's not that hasn't been on another like geeky show.
Hmm.
Think about it. I mean, he's been on kind of silly shows.
You're right.
But all the other ones, I looked this up, and some of them I knew. But Sigourney Weaver, of course, is in Aliens.
Aliens.
That's a huge
Ghostbusters.
Geek thing. Ghostbusters, of course. And Alan Rickman is in Buffy. I mean, not Buffy. Is in that's somebody else. Alan Rickman is in Harry Potter.
Yes.
And he's
wasn't he in Hitchhiker's Guide? He's in the robot.
He's the robot. He's the voice of the robot.
Yeah.
Which brings me to Sam Rockwell, who plays the red shirt, quote unquote.
Yes.
Guy is his name. And he's Saffron Beeblebrox in Hitchhiker's Guide.
Huh.
Robin Sachs, who plays the Saris, the bad guy, the big scary alien guy, is a character on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He plays one of Giles' friends/enemies from the past. And Justin Long is everyone's favorite nerd. He's the Mac guy.
He's not a nerd.
Oh, sorry.
He's a cool geek.
He's a very cool geek. He's a Gen X, Gen Y yes. geek, something like that. He's just the every nerd. Mm-hmm. And he plays the every nerd in this movie. Mm-hmm. And of course, we know Tony Shalhoub, who is great as Monk. And that's not really geeky, but Monk himself is a geek. So yes. I think that makes sense. So anyway, so you have the Tim Allen character, the Sigourney Weaver character, of course, is just like all Uhura. Women in sci-fi.
She's basically Uhura.
True, because she's like communications. Yes. And this is funny. Her job is basically just to ask the computer what the captain asks the computer and then repeat back what the computer says.
Forward thruster shaft, 87% damage. Aft vector guards, 96% damage. Structural breaches in quadrants 32, 34, 40,
What about the engines?
Forward thruster shaft, 87% damage.
Computer, what about the engines? Why don't we have power?
The beryllium sphere has fractured under stress.
It's fractured.
Can it be repaired?
Computer, can it be repaired?
Damage to beryllium sphere, irreparable. Ugh. New source of beryllium must be secured.
We need another one.
You broke the ship. You broke the bloody ship.
Computer, is there a replacement beryllium sphere on board?
Computer, is there a replacement beryllium sphere on board?
Negative. No reserve beryllium sphere exists on board.
No, we have no extra beryllium sphere on board.
You know, that is really getting annoying.
Look, I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Somebody says, that is so annoying. And she says, it's my job. It's stupid, but I'm going to do it. This is my job. Alan Rickman plays the alien character, which is kind of the Spock-ish, mm-hmm. I guess, type character.
Spock Bones.
Spock and, yeah. Right.
Well, the thing that really clued me into the Bones character
yeah.
is the fact that at one point, one of the aliens that asks them to help him get rid of Saris.
Yes.
He says, I always thought of you as a father. And a lot of people have told
DeForest Kelly
that they think of him as a father.
And that is where I really do tear up at that part. Mm-hmm. And when he tells him the quote.
That's not too bad. We'll get you to the medical quarters and you'll be fine.
It has been my greatest honor to serve with you. I have been blessed, sir. I
don't speak Quillac.
You'll forgive my impertinence, sir. But even though we had never before met, I always considered you as a father to me.
Quillac? By Grabtha. Hammer by the sons of Warvan, you shall be avenged.
And the way that the guy reacts, he just has this look on his face. He's so happy because all he wanted was a little bit of attention from this guy. And when he heard that, right before he dies, he just has this look of bliss on his face because he knows he's going to be avenged. Makes me so happy in my heart.
You're a little beklempt.
I am a little.
Let me give you a topic. Footballs, neither a foot nor a ball. Discuss.
Oh, dear. When were we in high school?
Too long ago.
Yeah. Again, Justin Long plays the every nerd, and he's responsible for two good things. First of all, at the beginning of the movie, when basically Tim Allen gets to do that famous Kirk skit mm-hmm. from Saturday Night Live where he's like, it's not real, don't you people yeah. have lives? And he does the same thing to them and he's like, yeah, right. But anyway, so in in this, and he's mm-hmm. like the comic book guy kind of, then that's very funny. And I also like the Sam Rockwell character because he screams about everything.
Who wants the grand tour? Anybody else?
Because he's the red shirt, right?
So he's almost positive he's going to yes. die. And then the Tony Shalhoub character says, maybe you're not the guy who's going to die. Maybe you're the plucky comic relief. And he's like, really? He's a little over the top.
Then he gets all Rambo.
Oh, yeah, he does. It's very funny. And he does those little turns all over the place. It's very
funny.
With
his giant rifle that looks like the Needler from Halo.
Oh, very good.
What kind of looks like the Needler?
That's smart. So he, of course, is the red shirt. And then the Tony Shalhoub character, who is he? I guess he's Geordi. Is he Geordi?
This is where I'm going to warp your mind here.
Okay.
I'm going to say here that Enterprise is a spoof of a spoof.
I don't know that that's really true.
Well, okay, continue, the reptilians, please. The Zindi reptilians,
okay,
bear a very striking resemblance to the aliens that attack the crew.
Of Galaxy Quest. Very,
very striking resemblance. Would you not agree?
I think there is a striking resemblance.
And also, Travis Merriweather from Enterprise is the helmsman. And in Galaxy Quest, Tommy Weber, who plays Laredo. But he's a kid. He's also kind of like the Wesley Crusher character.
Okay. So when the show ran, he would have been the Wesley Crusher character. But by the time the Galaxy Quest movie happens,
yeah,
in the timeline, it's more of the Travis. But Travis, isn't he young too, though?
Yeah, he's pretty young.
In Enterprise, yeah. Isn't he like really
green? He's not like a kid. He just has that youthful personality.
Right.
Everything is just,
and he's the helmsman.
Yes, in he's the Enterprise. Helmsman. And that's not, I'm not, you know, the big thing is the reptilians and the Zindis and this alien creature or a group of aliens that attack the Galaxy Quest crew. That's really what I think that they borrowed.
Yeah.
It's almost too uncanny.
Yeah, it is kind of.
The jumpsuit suits.
What are some other cliches that they do?
Oh, gosh. Oh,
because you got the woman. He gets his shirt taken off.
Ripped off.
And then she ends up with, you know, her bra showing at the end.
But the real scene, the scene where they're going after extra Omega 13 on that planet where all the little.
It's not Omega 13. That's their like. I want to say dilithium crystals, but
what's
it's
the name
not.
Of? Yeah, it's not the dilithium. It's the equivalent to the dilithium crystals.
Okay,
they're going after the cannibal type little
kids.
Monsters are down on the surface when they take off without Tim Allen, and he's left there on the surface with that.
Big
he called
rock.
It up the pig lizard. That scene when they're on the bridge watching it unfold on the surface, it was so much like the Gorn episode where Kirk is fighting the Gorn.
Very
because
good.
They watched it from the bridge.
Yes.
In TOS. Anyhow,
cool.
That one's good.
We're getting you out right now. It's perfectly safe, isn't it, Tim?
It has never been successfully tested.
What did he say?
Hold, please.
Theoretically, the mechanism is fully operational. However, it was built to accommodate your anatomy, not ours. But now that Tech Sergeant Chen is here, he can operate it. It was designed watching his motions from the historical documents.
I can supervise.
Jason, we're gonna test it.
On what?
How about that pig lizard?
Hey, I'm doing all right with the pig lizard.
Please, Fred, and hurry.
I'm sorry. It's very exciting to watch the master at the controls. The operation of the conveyor is much more art than science.
Stand back, Jason.
I heard some squealing or something.
Oh, no, everything's fine.
But the animal is inside out.
I heard that.
It turned inside out?
Well, before we keep going with all the little tie-ins with the television shows, I loved the people at the conventions that were coming over, and they were reciting Gabthar's hammer. It's like, it's a sign. And the next
never
one right after him.
Never surrender.
How did I come to this?
Not again.
I played Richard III.
Five curtain calls.
There were five curtain calls. I was an actor once. Damn it, now look at me. Look at me! I can't go out there and I won't say that stupid line one more time. I can't. I won't.
Well, Alex, at least you had a part. Okay? You had a character people loved. I mean, my TV Guide interview was six paragraphs about my boobs and how they fit into my suit. No
don't even bother to ask me what I do on the show.
You had the... Wait, I'll think of it.
I repeated the computer, Fred.
You'll need to watch this so you can know how not to approach actors when you go to the Star Trek convention in Vegas.
I bet some of them think it's fun and quirky, though.
I bet they do, but I bet they get a little tired of it also.
True. I guess
not all of them are as funny as you, who can give them an autographed picture of themselves in a German
brochure.
Yes.
Was that what you were saying?
Yeah, I was just going to mention the convention and how silly the fans were at the convention.
Yes.
It's kind of over the top, and you know they're really making fun of us fans.
But the thing is that not far from the truth.
It's not.
No. That's true. Well, see, that's a tie-in kind of to real life and how we react. I like at the end, the sequence... The self-destruct sequence stops at one.
Yes.
Because it always stops at one at the show. Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense. And then when they have to go through, it's almost like a video game where they have to go through the mallets.
Uh-huh.
Straight on through the chompers.
Chompers? Well, screw that.
How are we supposed to get through this? Hollister, do you have the sequence yet?
Okay. The sequence is... 2-2-4-2-3.
What is this thing? I mean, there's no useful purpose for there to be a bunch of choppy, crushy things in the middle of a hallway.
What's that?
No, I mean, we shouldn't have to do this. It makes no logical sense. Why is this here?
Because it's on the television
show. Well, forget it. I'm not doing it. This episode was badly written.
She's
like, I hate this
and it's
episode.
Like Mario Brothers or something.
Whoever wrote this episode is an idiot. You know, the other thing that, which was really funny is the rock monster.
Yes.
That reminded me of.
Some of the, I mean, there
Warcraft.
Might be something like that in WoW, but I don't, I haven't.
I know,
been.
I saw your husband fighting one in one day while I was waiting for you to come record with me. So
Jim's a level 70 and I'm still a level 40 and 46. But I did just sting 40 with my mage. I'm very excited.
And you're planning to take a screen grab of your mage and put it on the gallery?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing.
You also have to take a picture of little Russ and his storm pooper.
He has a storm pooper, but he also has an actual
storm trooper jumper.
Yeah, little onesie, which is hilarious. And we're going to make sure to keep it clean because even if we have a little girl, she's going to wear it too the next time we have a little one.
So. Well, you'll lend it to me when I have kids too, right?
I will. Yes. Or we'll get you another one.
Okay. So anyway.
And now for listener feedback.
Hey, Jim and Angela. It's Kenny from California. I'm also the host of many, many podcasts. Too many to name, but my most popular ones are Knights of the Guild podcast, the MASH 4077 podcast, which I do with fellow co-host Meds and Al, who you've talked about on your podcast. Just wanted to send in some comments. I know it's been a while since I've chatted with you ladies. It's just been kind of a crazy, hectic life and dealing with my own podcast and work and just life in general. You know, things get in the way, and I would love to send in comments to previous podcasts, especially, I'm just now catching up. I just listened to like 10 of your podcasts back to back as I was painting my house. And, so many great topics, and it's like, I wish I could have sent in a comment for that. Or, I wish I could have told them what I thought about this. I do want to mention, though, on your Big Bang Theory, because you did mention me in it, and I do go to the national park that the guys... took pictures at. It's actually called Vasquez Rocks, and it is the most well-known sci-fi use of it was for Arena. It's a TOS, the original series episode, and it's where Kirk fought the Gorn. That is what is most well-known for. It was obviously, it's been used in hundreds of movies because it looks very alien because the rocks are in a slant and jagged looking. It's been in commercials. They've used it for Voyager. They've used it for Deep Space Nine, I think. I don't know if it's ever been used for TNG, but it's well known. And if you're ever in California, you should definitely check out Vasquez Rocks in Agua Dulce. It's a very cool place. I go and hike there probably 2-3 times a week. Anyways, I'm not leaving the message for you guys. For that reason, I wanted to leave a message for your Galaxy Quest podcast. Of course, I listened to your original cast, and I loved it because Galaxy Quest is one of my favorite all-time comedy slash sci-fi slash parody movies. The actors are fantastic. I mean, this was done in 99. Tim Allen was huge, and I loved Tim Allen. I loved his Home Improvement. You know, I loved Sigourney Weaver from Aliens. And then you had, you know, Sam Rockwell, who was doing some great movies, and Tony Shalhoub, who was doing TV at the time. Just so many fantastic actors. And then you have this incredible story, you know, and it's a parody on Star Trek, but it doesn't make fun. You know, there's a fine line of making fun of something or just making like an homage to it. And I think Galaxy Quest was definitely an homage to Star Trek. You know, you had Jason Nesbitt, the Tim Allen character. You know, he was definitely the Kirk type character. You know, and I don't think they portrayed nerds, you know, in a bad way. I've been to many, many conventions. I've gone to San Diego Comic-Con for almost 9 years now. You know, I've been to Star Trek conventions. I've been to Alienation conventions. I've been to various other sci-fi-ish conventions. And I even cosplay now at San Diego Comic-Con. So, I mean, I'm definitely the con nerd that is portrayed in the show. Of course, you know, unlike Justin Long's character, I do, you know, I don't go up to the stars and ask them, you know, these techno-babble questions and how is this possible? Because I do know that they're actors and they're only, you know, pretending to be. Or are they? That's one thing I loved about this movie was the fact that, you know, you always, in the back of your mind, with, you know, you love characters so much on your favorite sci-fi TV series. And you're like, oh, only if it was real. You know, wouldn't it be cool if it was real? And this movie actually takes it to that level where these actors who are pretending to be, you know, these awesome science fiction characters actually become those awesome science fiction characters. You know, you have that alien race who watch these historical documents and think that these guys are real heroes and they need their help. And Tim Allen, you know, he's in the humdrum of his career and his life, and you know, he's just looking for that little adventure. The rest of the crew kind of just gets abducted and snagged into it somehow. But it's just a funny, God, it's just so good. It's hard to put into words why I love it so much. It's a movie I can just pop on anytime, start watching it. I can do stuff around the house. I could, you know, I can work out and I can just have it on in the background just so I can hear it and occasionally check it out. If I'm turning, you know, flipping through the channels and I see that it's on, I can pick up and start watching it anywhere, you know, and which is unusual for me because normally I need to start at the beginning of a movie and go to the end. I don't like going right into the middle of it. But with Galaxy Quest, it's just so much fun that I could pick up anywhere and just watch it and love it. And I am so excited that you guys are re-releasing your classic Galaxy Quest podcast, and I can't wait to listen to it all over again. So until next time, ladies, hopefully I'll be sending in more comments. I'm going to really try because you guys have some fantastic topics coming up, and I'm going to do my best to get comments into you. So until next time, take care, ladies.
Jen and Angela want to hear from you. Send your feedback to girlygeeks@gmail.com or call 432-363-4742 and leave them a message.
Stay on target. So what are some of the other cliches?
Thinking.
Time's up. Now that I've been asked to think, I can't.
I know.
And that's how everybody is.
Can't you think of something?
I passed it to you and my brain just turned off. It went
mine
click.
Did too.
But I was saving this for last, but I think we're kind of wrapping up anyway. But my favorite part is he calls Justin Long.
Oh, yeah, I forgot all about that.
This is my favorite part that makes me so happy. He calls Justin Long on the little transceiver or whatever communicator thing. And Justin Long's like, you know, I know that's not real and that, you know, I have life and I understand. And he's like going on and Tillian's like, no, really, it's okay. It's real. And he just goes, fine, do it.
Well, it's because Tim Allen's character totally reamed him at the convention about how it's just a TV show.
And then how he go, and this is a perfect thing, and this happens, well, I mean, this is not really anything Buffy, but it is kind of Buffy, where how Buffy has to deal with her real life stuff along with going and saving the world again, which is a normal Buffy thing. And the Justin Long's mom is trying to get him to take out the trash, and they're like, it's not turning off. Come on, come in. And they clip to the kid and he's running out, putting the trash in the trash, and his mom like, remember the recycling? And he goes back and he's like, you don't know how important this is, mom.
The fate of the world is
world is in my hand.
Mother, I cannot stress enough the severity of the commander's
predicament.
Core implosion estimated in 10 seconds. 9.
Gwen,
8. 7. 6. 5. 4. 3. 2. 1.
Oh. It always stops at 1 on the show. What were you saying?
Yeah, so. That's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. And the scene where he gathers up all the Roman candles and the bottle rockets,
yes,
that are, and things like that to and signal parents, to the ship as it's coming in.
Yeah, and he explains to his parents exactly what's going on, and they're like,
in technobabble terms,
well, be back by 7. Lunch is or dinner's at 7.
At least he's going outside, dear.
So I just think it's a really awesome movie that is really good for geeks and for just sci-fi in general, mm-hmm, alike, because it kind of brings the two together, and I think it does it very well. I really do like the special effects, and I do like, we were talking about the Robin Sachs character, Saris. I really like the costume. I know that you were comparing it to the reptilians and the Zindi reptilians, but I think it was a really good costume design, mm-hmm, from my own personal perspective, that when he gets angry, his little bony wings like fly, mm-hmm, up, and I don't know, I found it a really good costume.
Yeah,
and I do like the leader of the aliens,
mm-hmm, who, did we ever find out what those guys are called?
You had to ask me.
Their mannerisms are awesome. I love that, the way they shuffle along,
uh-huh,
and they walk with their arms kind of up.
And then there's bit, when they're all running away, and they're running away like,
yes,
with their knees really high in the air, and they're all running the same way. That is brilliant. I don't know
it's
who decided on that.
It's because they have some type of generated image. They don't really look like that. They,
right,
look like octopus.
Right.
Or,
right,
octopi or something.
So it's basically what's ever programmed in for the how, mm-hmm, they run. But still, you know, it's real people actually doing it.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's even funnier knowing that these people have been directed to kind of, mm-hmm, run that way.
So. And they have their crazy haircuts and their,
yes,
their faces that are frozen in perpetual joy.
And also,
joy,
another sad part is when the leader finds out that it was just a TV show.
Yeah.
And he says, tell him. And he says, we lied. And he goes, why? And I'm like, oh, no. Poor guy. I just want to give him a hug. But then he wins, so it's okay.
The transporter system is a little more unique than...
Oh, yes, the big bubble.
The booger bubble.
The booger bubble. And yeah, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And there's one more thing. Oh, the big cliche is the bad guy always comes back for one,
yes,
last. That's
over
the other big
cliche. How many times? 3 times? They blew him up, ooh, once. He came back onto the ship as a... maybe 4 times. No, 3 times.
No, 3 times. Blew him up once, came back on the ship, and then they did the...
Back in time.
The back in time, which is another cliche, is being, yeah, able to go back in time to
Balthazar
fix something.
Beats him with his cane.
Yes.
And then at the end, when they crash land at the
convention,
he's alive again, and the commander has to shoot him.
I would say the one over-the-top thing that I kind of didn't like was that... I like that they crash landed in the convention because it made the ending better, but it was too obvious that people had to have died. There's no way no one died, uh-huh, in the way that they crash landed. And so it's like, if they would have crash landed maybe in a field and then stopped in the field right outside,
yeah,
like right by the parking lot, so that there were no people, but like the fact that they crash landed and somebody had to have died and all that, I can suspend my disbelief pretty far.
I think it's our line of work that prevents us from... from getting past that.
PR.
Because that's exactly what I was thinking. That
PR issue.
All those people who, you know,
injured their all.
The convention would never be able to continue the year after because of all the lawsuits and the negative publicity.
Like, this is so out of left field, but it's kind of like Holy Grail, where he goes and kills everybody at the wedding, and he's like, "It's my idiom," and he kills everybody, and then he says, "This is my new son-in-law," and everybody's like bloody, and he's like, "Sorry about that. All right, it's my idiom." All right. Oh, and I got an iPod finally.
Booyah!
That's exciting. Yay!
So now you could listen to
the Anomaly Podcast.
The Anomaly Podcast on an iPod.
Right.
Yeah.
What other, tell me real quick, since we're wrapping up, what other podcasts are you listening to right now?
Well, I was listening to Heroes of Science Fiction and Fantasy, like I said. Mm-hmm. Of course, Treks and Sci-Fi.
Of course.
I always listen to them. Geeks finally came out with another 2 episodes, which is really good. And I'm also listening to I Should Be Writing, and also something about writing science fiction. Michael J. Stackpole does it. Mm-hmm. Listen to that. And also listening to quite a few Trek audio dramas.
Cool.
Audio dramas, which are pretty good. Pendant Audio and Darker Projects both do a audio drama. One's called New Frontier, and the other one, I think, is called The Pioneer. I'm not sure. They have a bunch of them. So do a search on iTunes for those two production companies.
Cool. I also was thinking you need to finish that book.
Yes.
We will have a special podcast.
We need to do
a podcast
about it.
With you and Jim.
Yeah.
And me, if I can either listen to it or get Jim to explain it to me.
I'm
not much for
listening
reading.
I'm reading like, what, 3 or 4 books right now. They're not all novels. One of them's a novel, and 2 of them are how-to books.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I'm like a super brain or anything, but I have to read 2 or 3 of them at a time or else I'll be super bored. So at the same time, I can't read this other novel that Angela's talking about, which is Snow Crash.
Mm-hmm.
I had to download the audiobook on iTunes to listen to it. And it's really good, and we'll be doing an episode eventually on that. But before we wrap up, I would like to thank everybody who has given us an iTunes review.
Yay!
Thank you so much. We are like, we have 5 stars. 10 people have given us iTunes ratings, and we only had one that was a 4-star. The rest of them were 5.
And the 4-star person was very positive.
Yes,
so
very positive.
I can't complain.
A negative review yet.
Good.
And we thank you very much. And we also encourage you to please continue doing that, because
yes,
we want to be like big shots on iTunes.
And tell your friends.
Yes, tell your friends. Blog about us, please, because we have people who are finding us online through blogs.
Yes.
And thank you to Rico for continuing to plug our podcast. And he also has a blog that we are listed on several times that people find us through and
Yay.
On their forums.
Great.
So thank you for every little bit of publicity. We appreciate it very much.
We do. Thank you so much. Okay. Podcast. Next time, hopefully be talking to Erin about her first Star Wars experience. Oh, you know, I just remembered.
What?
Our friend Casey,
yes,
that we mentioned earlier, has never seen Empire or Jedi.
What?
No. I know. I nearly banished her.
She has to turn in her geek card.
I know, right? But she does she does watch Doctor Who, so that's pretty
all
geeky.
Right. Well, she can turn the tables on us on there, because I don't watch Doctor
Who.
Because
we do not watch Doctor Who. So, but I have watched a few episodes and I am intrigued. So she has agreed to watch Empire. So maybe if we don't get a chance to get Erin to watch Star Wars, we can get Casey to watch Empire.
Mm-hmm.
So one or the other of those things will happen.
One by one, we are turning women
geeky. We're making them realize that they already are geeks.
Speaking of,
everyone,
remember
is.
A few podcasts ago I had my mother on, and I
yes.
convinced her to watch Battlestar,
and
she liked everything she watched, and she can't wait for the next half of the season to
right?
begin. But She listened to our last Firefly episode, and last Christmas I bought my dad the box set of Firefly, which he has not opened, mind you. He loves science fiction. That's why I love science fiction, because he got me into it.
Right.
And he's also a big Western fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that's for sure.
My mom loves Firefly because of that reason.
I thought for sure he would like it. He hasn't even opened it. My mother opened it, and she's been watching them.
Yay!
And she likes them.
I'm so proud.
I know.
I am very proud of you. That's great. That's really great. I love it. Okay, well, we're one girl at a time.
Mm-hmm.
One girl at a time, we're turning geeky.
And so, again, we beg you, if you were an anomaly, email us and let us know you're listening to the show.
Yes, you can visit our website at anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com. Or you can email us from the website. And you can also email us directly at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z at gmail.com.
You can visit our blog also for show notes, which is anomalypodcast.blogspot.com.
No at.
No at.
And I'm Angela.
And I'm Jen.
And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
Hey, it's Jen again. Jen from the future. You were just listening to Jen from the past. And a lot of things have changed since 2008. One of those things is that Casey, the friend we were mentioning towards the end of our classic episode, is now part of our staff, and rest assured she has seen A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. Probably because we chided her publicly. But, she's seen them. She heard that episode back in the day, and it's been sticking in her craw for a long time. Because we outed her. It needed to happen. Because how do you survive life without Star Wars? I would like to take this opportunity to officially return Casey's geek card. I think she's earned it. There you go, Casey. Go on, take it. It's a little bent on the corner right there, but, you know, go ahead. Also, one of the things that's changed since 2008 is that Angela has upgraded from the iPod to an iPad mini. Not that you care or anything, but that iPod's probably considered a dinosaur right now. I just didn't want you to think that she still was bragging about that iPod. We should probably put it in a time capsule or something with a few episodes on it. Happy 4th of July to our fellow Americans. Have a safe and happy holiday, and hopefully we'll come back to you real soon with a brand new anomaly. I'm Jen, and as we said in the past, you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
Thank you for listening to Anomaly. Please tell your friends about the show by retweeting and sharing a link on Facebook for this episode. Please join the Anomaly Facebook group. Visit anomalypodcast.com for all of this and much more. Those poor people. I just can't. goodbye, Jen. Good night.
Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap.